Good morning. Today's daf in Yevamos Ayin Zayin. We are in Ayin Vav Amud Beis. We're starting today at the Mishnah, right halfway down on the Amud. And Gemara's discussion is going to be regarding Ishus, who can marry, who cannot marry. And we know that certain nationalities are going to be banned and barred from marrying into the Jewish people. Lo Yavo Amoni Moavi B'Kal Hashem. That neither anyone from the nationality of Amon Amov cannot enter into Kal Hashem. Quick clarification as we go through the Mishnah, as we're going to be going through the Sugya. And it's a common misconception, and let's clear up the misconception right now. And that is that if you come from these nationalities, so you can convert. Gerus is never open, is never an issue. Meaning to be Megayer, to convert into the Jewish people, coming from these nations, is perfectly legitimately okay, acceptable. And once they convert, they're full Ger. The only issue, as we're going to be discussing over the course of our Mishnah Gemara, is just going to be an issue of Ishus. And it's just a question of who they can marry, who they cannot marry. Meaning, we already know, we've seen this numerous times, that a ger is going to be limited in terms of who they can marry. So over here, when it comes to Amoni and Moavi, they're going to be even more limited. Limitations are going to extend in terms of their eligibility of who they can marry. So really, that's the only issue over here. So the issue is not gerus. The issue is an issue of Ishus. So Amoni and Moavi, Asurim v'Yisurim, Asur Olam. So we start with the Mishnah, we go back to the Mishnah, and one other clarification before we continue in the Gemara, as far as these nationalities are concerned, so where are they now? So the answer, of course, is we don't know. We don't know where these nationalities exist. We assume that there's a general distribution of all the various nationalities of the world, meaning Egyptians are not the Mitzrim of the Torah, and we don't even have today any nation that represents Ammon or represents Moab. So even by Ammon and Moab, it's not even going to be a question because we don't even have anything that goes by that name whatsoever by any kind of nationality. So the point is that even if we did, just like by Mitzri nowadays, we assume that they're not the Mitzrim of the Torah. So Ammon and Moab, even if they did exist, we would assume that they're not Ammon and Moav of the Torah. There was a Bilbul. There was a general distribution of all the various nations. Generally speaking, one more point before we begin with the Mishnah. Generally speaking, we are going to assume that Sancheriv was responsible for most of the mixing. Consider what he did to the 10 northern tribes, meaning to the Asara Shvatim. So Sancheriv at the end, towards the end of the first Beis Hamikdash, so he took the 10 northern tribes and he just simply distributed them amongst the nations. Where are they now? So unfortunately, the answer is we don't know. We haven't known now for more than two millennia, about two and a half millennia. We don't know where they are, and that continues to this day. So a similar point could be made regarding Ammon, Moab, and Mitzri, as we're going to be discussing. But anyway, in our Mishnah, we're discussing principally, meaning from a principal standpoint, from a fundamental standpoint, if we had Ammon and if we had Moab, so who can they marry? That's what our Mishnah is going to be discussing. So let's now begin the Mishnah. Ammon and Moav Asurim v'Yisurim Isser Olam. So as far as Ammon and Moav are concerned, so their Isser is an extended Isser, meaning it goes generationally and there is not going to be an end. When someone from Ammon has a child, that child has the status of being an Ammonite. Same thing with Moav. And that goes on for the next generation. V'chule v'chule. Aval nikvosei mutaros miyad. But as far as the females are concerned, mutar miyad. Meaning a really interesting distinction to be made regarding anyone from Ammon. And that is that if you're an Ammon convert male, so that's it. You have the Ammon status. You cannot marry into the Jewish people. Now, there are going to be people you can marry, which we'll discuss a little bit later on. But in other words, you can't marry anyone who is mikal Hashem. Anyone who is from the quote-unquote kahal. But when it comes to a female can marry immediately into the Jewish people, can marry Kahal. Mitzri ve'adomi, now as far as anyone from the nationalities of Mitzri and Adomi, inam asurim ela ad shel shadaros. Echad zachar ve'echad nekevos. So what they are restricted from doing is marrying into the Kahal, but that's only for three generations. At the third generation, and the Gemara is going to make this point really clear, at the third generation, now male or female, regardless, they can marry into the Kahal. But, as the Mishnah here points out, the difference between Mitzri and Nadomi, as opposed to Ammon and Moav, is that there is no distinction between male and female, meaning the prohibition of Ishus, as it relates to Mitzri and Nadomi, is going to be for generations 1 and 2, male and female. Now, on this last point, Rabbi Shimon argues. He takes exception to this last point. Rabbi Shimon matos and Nekevos miyad. Rabbi Shimon says that the Nekevos are going to be permitted immediately. I'm Rabbi Shimon, Kavachomer, Hadvarim. Rabbi Shimon says, if you consider it, it is in fact a kal vachomer logical argument. How does a logical argument work? miyad. So just simply compare, meaning when you go back to Ammon and Moab, so their iser of ishus is going to be generational, and yet the females you're allowed to marry immediately. So when it comes to Mitzri Nedomi, where it's a capped and limited iser of only three generations, so there it stands to reason, stands to argue that the women should be mutter immediately. So Amr Lo, so they say to Rabbi Shimon, Imalach nekabla v'im ledin yesh tshuva. So they say to Rabbi Shimon, look, if it's a halacha, meaning if what you're saying is just simply a tradition that you have as part of a mesorah, so then of course we're ready to accept it. But if what you're doing is just making an argument, well, the argument doesn't stand. Amr Lehem lo ki halacha ani omer. And to his response is, no, halacha, I'm saying over halacha, meaning this is not just based on an argument. My argument is supplementing a mesorah that I knew, but the truth of the matter is that it's halacha. It's something which I have as a masorah. Later, we're going to go over exactly what the response is between that the chachamim would have given to Rabbi Shimon, but that's going to be later on. Minahani mili. So immediately we start with the gemara. We're on ayin. Sorry. We're on Ayin Vav Amud Beis, and we are immediately after the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we've just established that when it comes to Ammon and Moab, anyone from that nationality, so there is going to be an Isser Ishus that will continue in perpetuity for the males. However, as it relates to the females, they're going to be Mutter immediately. Minahan immediately. Gemara's discussion over here is, how do I know this from? Where do I know this from? Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Kra. Ochir Osho, says Davi Yossi Lekras HaPlishti. Amar Lav Nesar Tzavar. Ben Mize Hanar Avner Vayomer Avner Chaynav Shecha Melech Im Yadati. So a really interesting source of in Tanakh regarding this discussion of a distinction to be made between Ammoni velo Ammonis, Moavi velo Moavis, and it all comes back to Shmuel. So if I can bring us back to Shmuel, for Shmuel Aleph Perek Yud Zayin. So we're at now the battle against the Plishim, and specifically they put up a giant where I think we're all familiar. The name of the giant is Galias, and somebody has to go do battle with him, and whoever the winner of the battle is going to be the winner of that particular exchange. And so David steps forward and he takes on the courageous act of facing Galias. And we're here at the point where questions were being asked about who he is. And when Shaul sees David, Yotzei Lekras HaPlishti, they're going out to greet the Plishti, Amar El Avner, so he says to Avner, Sarat Savar, who was his general, Ben Mize Hanar, who is this kid? Avner, Vayomer Avner, Chayinav Shecha Melech Imiyadati, and Avner's response is, I don't know. Now that exchange is nearly impossible to understand, as the Gemara is about to point out. V'lo Yad Alei V'Aksiv, now how could it possibly be that Shaul did not know who David HaMelech was? V'yav Toma Od, V'yi Lo No Sekelim. Previously, just one parak earlier in Shmuel, so we have David being the arms bearer of Shaul. They knew each other. Ela ahavua kamashol. So the Gemara says, so what Shaul was asking was, who was his father? Vaviv lo yadale. Gemara says, that's also impossible. Vaksiv ish bimei Shaul zakein baba anashim. So we are going back even earlier we're still in the same parak in Shmuel. And there was a man during the days of Shaul, Zakin Baba Anashim. He was elderly, and Baba Anashim. He went with men. Now, what does that mean? Va'amar Ravitem Rabbi Abba. Zay Yishai Avi David. This is Yishai, the father of David. Shenichnas Ba'ochlusa V'yatza Ba'ochlusa. Wherever he went, he always had an entourage. Entourage over here is certainly not the right word to use, but in other words, he had a lot of tamidim, and so people always went with him wherever he walked. So Hachi Kamer. So the Gemara says, fine. So there is, it's impossible. There are two impossibilities. One impossibility is that there's no way the Shaul did not know who David was. He knew who David was. They had a relationship previously. And furthermore, there's no way that Shaul didn't know who Yishai was, the father of David. Yishai was somebody of note. So Shaul was asking a question, and at this point in time, we don't know what the question was. The Gemara seeks to clarify. Hachi Kamer. Shaul. So there are two possibilities, meaning we all know this, just going over. David was from Shevet Yehuda. So Shevet Yehuda, you go back all the way genealogically to the beginning of the Shevet, meaning we go all the way back to Yehuda. So what do we know? We know that Yehuda had twin boys. Yehuda had actually a lot more sons. He had a total of five sons in total. Unfortunately, the first two died. Go back to Bereshis Perek Lamed Ches for details regarding that. He did have a third son, but ultimately Tamar ended up marrying Yehuda himself. And Tamar ended up marrying Yehuda himself. Now, I say that. I am not faithfully reporting exactly what happened right now, but that's fine. Meaning, I'm just talking about the genealogy. And Yehuda and Tamar had twin boys. And one was Peretz, and the other one was Zerach. And so the Gemara's assumption over here is that they really stand as the patriarchs of Shevet Yehuda. And now, what Shaul was asking was, is that, look, within Shevet Yehuda, we really have two streams, if you will, of lineage. One either from Peretz and the other one from Zerach. And now the question becomes, well, as far as David HaMelech is concerned, within Shevet Yehuda, which strain is he coming from? Is he I'm going to make up words right now, is he a Peretzite or is he a Zerachite? So, imi Peretzase, imi Zerachase, imi Peretzase, Malkahave. And over here, what's behind that question, what's really behind that question is that, look, we know that anyone coming from Peretz is going to be a Melech, is going to be a king. And Zerach is not going to be the king. Shamelch Peretz Lasos Derech Vein Mamachem Yado. In fact, encoded in the name, encrypted in the name, Peretz is somebody who breaks his way. Eminent domain, if you will. In other words, the king has the right to make a road wherever he wants, and that's fine, and nobody can stop him. And this eminent domain continues even in a time and place where we don't have kings, even Bizmanenu, nowadays here in America. We don't have a king, we have a democracy, but nevertheless, eminent domain. So it's encrypted in the name. Now, if they come from Zerach, so they're going to be chashiv, they're going to be significant people, but not going to be kings. And obviously over here, now we could paint the scene, picture the scene even better. So we have over here David standing up, confronting Goliath. Shaul made the claim. I didn't point this out earlier, but it's a good time to point this out. Shaul made the claim that anyone who faces and battles with Goliath is in fact going to be Shaul is going to give over one of his daughters to that person. And now, assuming that David is going to be victorious, it certainly portends that David, in fact, is going to become the next king of the Jewish people. Well, that would be unsettling for Shaul, because Shaul currently is the king, and obviously Shaul is worried about his own malucha, his own kingdom. And now we begin to understand a lot better in terms of what Shaul was asking. So, all this is really interesting. What in the world does any of this have to do with our discussion? Hold that thought. So the Gemara continues. In fact, Shaul was dressing up David as David was ready to go to battle against Goliath. And in fact, Shaul noted that David basically filled up the clothing, meaning David was as tall as Shaul. Now, as far as Shaul is concerned, the pasuk said earlier in Shmuel, this is the ninth parak of Shmuel, when Shaul himself was inaugurated as the king, that it's an expression we use here in English, but the Navi uses exactly this expression, heads and shoulders above everybody else. So that was the description of Shaul. And now all of a sudden, David comes forward, and David now is able to literally fit in the shoes of Shaul. So at that point in time, Shaul was good and concerned that he was looking at the next king of the Jewish people. So Amalei Doeg HaDomi Achat HaMashal Alav Im Hagon Hu Lamachus Im Lav. So Doeg HaDomi, another general, consultant to Shaul HaMelech, who was there at the battlefield, says now the following to Shaul, before asking him whether or not he's somebody who's fit to be the king, meaning you want to know if he comes from Peretz or if he comes from Zerach. Let's start off with a really more basic question. So, Shaul alav imrei lavo bikal imlav. Can he marry into the Jewish people? Meaning, we're now asking basic ishus questions regarding David HaMelech. Is his lineage allow him to marry into the Jewish people? Because what do we know? So we all know my time with the Kasim Rosam Avia, because he comes from Rosam Avia. Sefer Rus Megillas Rus ends and concludes with the fact that Rus was from Moab. She converts, she marries Boaz, and as a great grandson of Rus, so out emerges David HaMelech. So over here, so there's an Ishus issue. Forget Melech issue. So Amalei Av Ner Tanina. So now, litigation back and forth amongst the generals of Shaul in terms of whether or not this poses a problem of issues for David HaMelech. So Avner steps forward and Avner says, Amon v'lo Amon is Moav v'lo Moavis. So a tradition, meaning in the pasuk itself, it just simply says Amoni and Moavi. It does not, however, mention that there's any kind of distinction to be made between male versus female. Now, again, we're coming off a Mishnah where we just saw together in the Mishnah that there is a difference between male and female, but that's not clear in the Torah. And we only know as part of Torah Shebaal Peh. So what Avner is forwarding, he's submitting, is that he has part of the Masorah, this Torah Shebaal Peh, that a distinction is made between male and female. So Elamiata Mamzer V'lo Mamzeres, Mamzer Ksiv. I'm sorry, Mamzer V'lo Mamzeres. So to which the counter argument would be, well, what do we know regarding a Mamzer? What we know regarding a Mamzer is that a Mamzer applies both male and female. And the Torah uses just the word Mamzer. So the Gemara says Mamzer Ksiv Mumzar. So the Gemara says, yeah, but encrypted in the word Mamzer is Mumzar, meaning it's a blemish. And that blemish will be existent whether or not it's male or female. So Mitzri v'lo Mitzris. So the Gemara says, okay, why don't we say the same thing regarding Egyptian? We know that there's no difference between Mitzri and Mitzri. Now, we just came off the Mishnah, and we happen to know that it's a machlokus amongst the Tanaim, but the accepted viewpoint is that there is really no distinction to be made between male or female Egyptian. So Shaneach, the first time of the crowd. Allah shalom kidmo etzchem balechem of amayim, darchu shal ish lekayim, velo darchu shal ish lekadeim. Hayilam lekadeim, anashim lekras anashim, anashim lekras anashim. Sorry, I jumped ahead one question. So, the reason why by Ammoni and Moab is there is a difference between male and female is because the Torah gives us the reason why they are banned and restricted from marrying into the Jewish people. Al asher lo kidmu eschem balechem uvamayim. Because when we were in the Midbar and looking to purchase food and water, so we went to Ammon, we went to Moab, we asked for purchasing, and they said no. And so, darko shel ish lekadem v'lo darko shel isha lekadem. And it's really the men's responsibility, and therefore the men's culpability of not providing us bread and water in the desert. And so this was an act of total disdain, disrespect. And if you look at the Ramban over there, right there in Chumash, the Ramban says, on top of all that, Ammon and Moab are family members, meaning they're related to us through Avram and Lot. Right, we are descendants of Avram. They're related. They're descendants of Lot, and we're mishpacha, and we're really family. And the fact that they weren't able to give us water and bread while we were in the Midbar, despite the fact that we're cousins, is even more egregious. So the Ramban and Chumash makes exactly this point. Anyway, so as a result of that, so therefore they have a ban of ishus. They're not allowed to marry into the Jewish people. Again, I go back to what I said in the Mishnah. They can convert. They just simply can't marry in. And because the culpability really lies with the men, therefore the isra only lies with the men. So the Gemara says, I'm not so convinced about that. Hayelahem lekadem anashim lekras anashim, v'nashim lekras nashim. You could have easily made the argument that men should have given to the men and women should have given to the women, meaning that there should have been equal culpability to both men and women, and I don't really see this as being the argument to make, that there should be any kind of distinction between men and women. Ishtik. Okay, so we are right now on the battlefield. This is the strangest scene. We're on the battlefield where David now is facing Goliath, and a conversation / debate ensues amongst Shaul and the generals in terms of whether or not David can even marry within the Jewish people. We all know that his great-grandmother was Rusa Moavia, and is he allowed to marry in? And all this is really predicated on one simple question. The Isser in the Torah of Lo Yavo Ammoni Moavis, is it to the men? Is it to the men and women? And right now we're deliberating this very point. So, Miyad Vayomer HaMelech Shaul Ata Ben Mizeh Ha'aleim. So the Gemara now cites the next pasuk in Shmuel, where the king says, "Ben mizeh ha'aleim." Ha'aleim over there to be understood literally as a young man. But hasam karele nar hacha karele aleim. But those are two different words used to describe David. Previously, he was called the young man. Here, he's called the elaim, which admittedly is a synonym, but the choice of word over here is very specific. Hachi ka'amrele halacha nit ama mimcha. And what is being intimated over here is that the word aleim is also similar to the word nit alma, which means it's hidden. Meaning, we don't know this halacha. We really don't know the source of this halacha, that there's a distinction to be made between male and female. Sel v'shal be'beis medrash. And so now, go ask the beis medrash. So shal amrle, they said, amoni v'lo amon is a moavi v'lo moavi. So in the beis medrash, so it's the same refrain. Meaning that part of the Torah Shebaal Peh, part of the Masorah, is that a distinction is in fact made between male and female. So actually, do kolhani kushyasa. So now, the back and forth, the Gemara just simply says, look, go back over everything that we just discussed. And that's exactly what Doeg was asking to the members of the beis medrash. Ishtiku. And they were quiet, meaning they didn't have answers for his questions. Again, we go back to the questions of culpability because of what happened in the desert. Men, women, who deserves more culpability? Maybe they both deserve the same culpability, etc., etc. So, bay la'achruze aleha. So now a hachraza. They wanted to make a hachraza. They wanted to make a proclamation regarding David HaMelech, that David HaMelech, and for that matter, anyone who descends from any female Moabite convert is in fact prohibited to marry into the Jewish people. That's what they wanted to announce because they really had no way of satisfying the questions of Doeg. Miyad, immediately. Miyad, immediately. Vamash ben ish ushmo yisra yehad yisraeli sheba al avigal bas nachash. So we're introduced over here to Amasha. Now Amasha over here is not necessarily within the context of our story. The Gemara admittedly is taking a pasuk elsewhere in Navi, in Shmuel Beis, but nevertheless, the point is that we're being introduced to him as he participates in this discussion. Uksivin, the pasuk says, Yisra ha-Yishma'ili. Now, he is either the son of Yisra ha-Yisra'ili, that's in Shmuel, or Yisra Yishma'ili, it's in Divrei Hayamim. Divrei Hayamim is a repeated record of the history of the Jewish people with subtle differences and changes, and we find throughout the Gemara, always spends time going over these subtle changes. They were intentional. So over here, he was either the son of Yisra Yisraeli or Yisra Yishmaeli. Amarava Malamish Shechigar Charbo Ki Yishmael. So what this individual did, Amasha did, is that he girded himself, he sorted himself like a person from Yishmael. Va'amar kol misha eino shomei halacha zu yidaka becherev. Anyone not listening to this halacha is going to be stabbed with the sword. Kach mekublani mebeis dino shel Shmuel haramasi. This is a tradition that I received from Shmuel haramasi. Amoni v'lo amonis, moave v'lo moavis. So it's a tradition, meaning it's a halacha l'moshe misina. I jumped ahead. I'm going to clarify that point in just a moment. And that's a tradition that we have, and as part and parcel of that tradition, there's nothing more to talk about. Meaning conversation over. Umi Mehemin, the Gemara says, okay, but you know, why should he be believed? V'hamar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav, kol tamil chacham she mora halacha uva im kodem maisa amra shomim lo v'im lav ein shomim lo. So the Gemara says, you know, it's funny. If there's a halacha that's said before the question is asked, so fine. So once the question is asked, we can rely on the halacha that was already stated. However, if a question is asked and now you're procuring a tradition for the first time, meaning, and you happen to be the one who knows this information, and for whatever reason others don't know this information, well, chronologically, it's too shady, meaning that you know this information, but only after the question was asked. So over here, it seems to be more like the latter than the former. And why should they have any credibility whatsoever? So Shani Hachidah Shmuel Veis Dino Kayim. So Gemara says, yeah, but he's quoting the Beis Din of Shmuel. The Beis Din of Shmuel happens to be extant at that time. And so you could just simply go to the Beis Din of Shmuel and corroborate. So that's not a good example of the information just simply popped up afterwards, because we have the Beis Din who provide that information, who was around at the time. Mikomakom Kasha. Now, the Gemara says, okay, when all said and done, we have the tradition. But let's go back to the questions of Doeg HaAdomi, and let's at least attempt to answer the questions of Doeg HaAdomi. So the Gemara says, Hacha Targimu. So the Gemara says, here, meaning presumably in Bavel. So they say, Kol Kvoda Bas Melech Penima. Quote the Pasuk in Tehillim. And that is that the honor of a princess is to be inside. Meaning that previously, so the suggestion was made that the women, that the Moabite women should be sharing the blame and sharing the culpability because they didn't provide food and water to the Bnei Yisrael as they were going through the Midbar. So the Gemara says, no, they really shouldn't have culpability because kol kvoda bas melech penima. In other words, they are not expected to go out and to provide the water. Meaning there is a certain expectation that women should be more inside, more indoors. And so, therefore, they don't have the culpability. B'marava Amrei in Eretz Yisrael. So they say a little bit differently. V'item Rav Yitzchak Amar Krav V'yamrei Yalav Ayei Sara Yishtecha. It's by Sara Yimeinu. It's the same point. And that is that she was in the tent, and the Malachim were highlighting to Avram, you know, your wife is very modest, and that's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Okay, it really comes out to be the same point. Before we continue in the Gemara, so just I referenced it earlier, just momentarily. I'll just I'll elaborate on this point just for a second. And that is that the back and forth in the Gemara over here is so fascinating and so interesting regarding whether or not there is a distinction between male and female. We know the conclusion. The conclusion is there is a distinction, but the back and forth and the Amasha ben Ish, the Amasha, the son of Yisra, Yisra HaYisraeli, Yisra HaYishmaeli, who steps forward and threatens everyone to be stabbed with a sword if they don't listen to him. It is an unbelievably fascinating piece of Gemara over here. And what exactly was the exchange in, and how did he end the discussion? Aside from threatening everybody by stabbing them with the sword, how did he end the discussion? So there is a famous right now because I know it, but there is a famous piece in the Griz and his commentary to Chumash on the back of the Griz on Chumash. So he has a number of sections on Tanakh. He has a number of pieces on Rus, and his basic point, and over here I'm summarizing, really reducing it. Please look at it inside to really benefit and appreciate it, is that previously what they were discussing is that this is something that we could darshan, meaning it's a halacha, but it's a halacha that you could darshan. And what Amasha was coming to explain to everybody, based on the tradition that he received from the Beis Din of Shmuel, is that this is not a drasha, this is halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim. Meaning that when we talk about Torah Shabbat Peh, so there are a number of categories of Torah Shabbat Peh. One category of Torah Shabbat Peh is that we darshan. Right, that's the Yud Gimel Midrash Torah Nidreshes Bahem, Kavah Chomer, Gzeirah Shavah, etc., etc. We be Darshan. And another category of Torah Shabbat Peh is Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. And you see the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Mamrim. It's very clear from the Rambam that categorically they're different. Meaning something that's learned via drasha. So a drasha can be relitigated at a later point in time, obviously by a Beis Din, and the Beis Din has to be greater. But in other words, but it can be relitigated as opposed to Halach LaMoshe Mitzrayim. Halach LaMoshe Mitzrayim is never open to any kind of discussion, litigation. Halach LaMoshe Mitzrayim is an absolute. And so the big difference that the Griz explains is that what Shaul and all of his generals were thinking is that this is a drasha, and this is learned out through the Yud Gimel Midrash Shatoni Drashas Bahem. And the counter argument is that no, this is not a drasha. This is Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim. Anyway, please look it up. It's a Griz. It's really basic and fundamental towards understanding this entire sugya. We are in Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. We're continuing. Kitanai. We're a little bit less than halfway down in the Amud. This is a Machlokas Tanai. Mamonim v'lo Amonis, Moav v'lo Moav, is divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda says it's, again, I'm gonna use the Griz terminology over here because it really is beautiful just in explaining the Gemara. It's Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim. Rabbi Shimon Amar, Al Dvar Asher Lo Kidmu, Eschem B'lechem V'Mayim, Darcho Shlish L'Kadem. And according to Rabbi Shimon, yes, there's a distinction between male and female, and it's based on culpability, meaning we're darshaning the Psukim. So a couple of endnotes over here, meaning we all now know the conclusion. The conclusion is that there is a distinction to be made between male and female Moavi versus Moavis. Moavi is prohibited from marrying into the Jewish people. Again, I said this in the beginning of Shir, I'll say it again now. Just to clarify, allowed to convert. Okay? Gerus is not the issue. The issue is Ishus. So can convert, but can't marry into Kahal Hashem, and that Isser will exist in perpetuity. Meaning, when he fathers a child, even after conversion, and that child is going to be a convert, but going to have the status of being a Moavi, and same with the next generation, v'chule v'chule for the males. As far as the females are concerned, so the females can convert, and the females are not going to have any Isser Ishus whatsoever. Okay, that is the conclusion. The Gemara now is just going to be quoting a couple of drushes before we move on to our next topic of this morning. Darsh Rav Amai Dichsi Pitach Lamosei Rai, you untied my chains. Amar Dav Lifnei Kadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam Shnei Mosor Shayu Alai Pitachtem. So there were two chains that were on me, basically shackling me. And you open them up. Rusam Oveya V'Nam Ha'amonis. So Rusam Oveya V'Nam Ha'amonis. So they were converts. Again, both of them now coming, these two converts coming from nationalities where there is a prohibition, but the prohibition is on the male, not on the female. And because an exclusion, an allowance for the female, so therefore, pitach de la mosarai, you unchain me, so to say. Rus, we already went over. Nama happens to be the mother of Rechavam. Okay, anyway. Darish Rav Amai Dichsiv. Rabba Sasita Ata Hashem Elokai Niflosecha Machshavosecha Aleinu. So, you did a number of wondrous things on us. The Gemara is keying in on the word on us. Alai lo namar, ella aleinu. Rechavam was in the lap of David. Rechavam now is the grandson of David HaMelech. It's on the two of us that this pasuk is being stated. One more pasuk in Tehillim relevant to this discussion, and that is that we were written by Megillah Sefer. Amar David, ani amarti atabati, v'lo yadashti shemegillah Sefer kasuv alai. David said that I thought that all this was happening right now. What I didn't realize is that all this was forecasted well in advance. Hasam ksiv, hanim seis, hachaksiv, matzasi David avdi b'shem kashim meshachtiv. So you go back all the way to Lot, who is the progenitor of Rus, and the word nimseis, and over here, matzasi David avdi, the pasuk in Tehillim. And so this mitziah, this discovery, if you will, goes all the way back, recorded all the way back in Chumash, all the way back to the beginning and the origins of Rus. Ad Kan, that takes us to the end of the first part of today's daf. We continue. We're on Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph, and we're going to go a little bit further this morning. Amar Ulam Rav Yochanan. Okay, so the Gemara quotes B'Shem Rav Yochanan the following halacha. Bas Ger Amoni, K'sher L'Kahuna. So, you have the daughter of a Ger Amoni, so K'sher L'Kahuna and Elat Amari Kohen. Okay, this is a discussion that we had already previously, back in the seventh parak of Aharon Masechta, and here in the eighth parak, we get to review a discussion, and that is that a convert herself is not allowed to marry a Kohen. That's well known, that's well established. We've gone over that numerous times. Why can a Geras not marry a Kohen? So I'll say it simply, although it is there is more than one opinion on this matter, but to say it simply, so the assumption is that a Geras has a status of a Zona. Doesn't mean necessarily that she was a Zona, but she has a status of a Zona. That's the that perhaps is the easiest way to say it. Admittedly, there are some difficulties with that position, but that's the way we'll present it. If you recall, we spent some time earlier with the shita of the Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who said that a Gyaris who converted below the age of three is in fact allowed to marry Cohen, but that is a unaccepted viewpoint. Anyway, so over here what we're describing is the daughter of a Ger Amoni. So the daughter of a Ger Amoni. So as we already established, the women are mutter, meaning there is no Isra of Ishus as it relates to a Ammonis. Over here, the daughter of a Ger Amoni. And so what Rav Yochanan now is presenting is that not only is there no Isra of Ishus, not even for a Kohen. A Kohen could marry the daughter of a Ger Amoni. Now, Amale Rav Abar Ula Lu'ula Kaman. So a discussion ensues where the question is asked, who are we holding like? Meaning, this is a machlokas tanaim, not this particular question, but the basic question of the son of a ger, or in this case, the daughter of a ger. So, Iker Rav Yehuda Amar Bas Ger Zachar Kebas Chala Zachar. So, if we're holding like the sheet of Rav Yehuda, remember Rav Yehuda says that ger status continues to the next generation, meaning a Bas Ger Zachar, the daughter of the father who's a convert. So, the daughter has convert status. The daughter is a Gioris, meaning the daughter can't marry a Kohen. That's the Shita of Rav Yehuda. Again, as we already pointed out, we don't pass like Rav Yehuda, but that's the Shita of Rav Yehuda. It can't be that Rav Yochanan was saying it within Rav Yehuda. It simply doesn't work. And Ika Rabbi Yossi Pshita. Now, if you're telling me you were holding like Rabbi Yossi, well, it's obvious. Meaning, Ha Amar Af Gershanisa Gioris Bitok Sher Lekahuna. Because Rav Yossi is of the position that a Ger marrying a Gioris, mom and dad are Gerim, the resulting daughter can marry a Kohen. And so what the Gemara is bothered by is the following. So we have a Machlokas Tanaim. Now, for Rav Yehuda, there's nothing to talk about, meaning there's no way that the position of Rav Yochanan could fit in within the Shita of Rav Yehuda. So leave Rav Yehuda out of the discussion. So we're left now with the Shita of Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says that the daughter of a Ger and a Gioris is allowed to marry a Kohen. Rav Yochanan, what are you adding to the discussion? You seem to be basically repeating the Shita Rav Yossi with not a single additional point to be made. And the Gemara suggests as follows. Well, consider that when we're talking about a Ger and a Gioris getting married, so both of them are allowed to go and become members of the Jewish people. There is no Isra of Ishus in general as it relates to a Ger and a Gioris, but over here we're talking about where the father's an Ammoni, so that's different. So the Gemara says, Menale di Olive Mikol and Gadol Ba'amana. So the Gemara says, well, let's consider the following. Where do we know these halachas? We know these halachas from Kohen Gadol to Amana. Now, what do we know regarding Kohen Gadol and Amana? So Ma Kohen Gadol and Amana Shekin Biasa Be'Avera. So the Gemara says, just like Kohen Gadol and Amana, where the Isser is a, I'm sorry, there's a prohibition for them to get married, and yet, and the resulting child is going to be a chalal. So the and is going to be disqualified. So the Gemara says, so what do we see from here? So so only when there's an avera that's involved in terms of the marriage, then and only then the child is going to be prohibited to kahuna. Over here, when you have an amoni ger, so marrying a woman, so that's going to be an avera. So the Gemara says chalal yochich. So malachal sheken yisir aso be'aver. So the Gemara says, okay, well, what about a chalal? Meaning a chalal is not allowed to marry a kohen. So the Gemara says, hey, that's true, but the chalal is a product of an avera. So kohen gadol yochich. So what the Gemara now is noting is that, look, as far as the kohen gadol and amana is concerned, so their marriage is an avera. As far as the chalal is concerned, his creation is an avera. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're taking the two unions, putting them side by side, noting their commonality. And that is that there are eino berov kal, meaning that they are not allowed to marry some members of the Jewish people, and the daughter is going to be disqualified. So over here, I would say the same thing, meaning if I have a union between an amoni and a Jewish woman where that is a prohibited union, so then based on this Sada Shava, so we should argue, therefore, that the daughter is not allowed to marry a kohen, not much different than a halal. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, well, that's a little bit different. It's a little bit strange because when it comes to a bas kohen gadol, so the yitzir was with an avera. The halal, the yitzir was with an avera. So the when it comes to an amonis, so over here there is no avera in her formation. So the Gemara says, "Dilma ba'amonish and ase basi so kamart." So afagav de biasa be'avera bituk shera. Ah, so the Gemara says, "Oh, so what Rav Yochanan, in terms of establishing a chiddush, he must have been discussing the following: Dad was an amoni, and Mom was not an amonis. Meaning, so in other words, the union between Mom and Dad was in fact an avera, and nevertheless, the child is allowed to marry a kohen." So now what we're doing is we're saying a chiddush, meaning unlike a bas kohen unlike an alman and a kohen gadol who produces a chalala, unlike a halal who is prohibited to marry certain people where they get married, the union is going to be a prohibited union, and or the resulting child is going to be a prohibited child. So under those circumstances, there's going to be an isser to marry a kohen. Masha Enkin over here. Not Masha Enkein. Similarly, over here, when we're talking about where dad was an Ammoni and mom was a Yisrael, where the union is prohibited, there's an Ister Ishus, and Rav Yochanan is saying, yet the child is allowed to marry a Kohen. Now that's a Chiddush. So, Afagav de Biasa Bever, Bituk Shira, Amalei in. So he says, yep, that's exactly the point over here. Dechi Asa Ravin, we're going to take out the words of Rav Yochanan. Dechi Asa Ravin, Bas Gera, Ammoni, Bas Mitzri Sheni, Rav Yochanan Amar Chera, Vishlakish Amar Psula. So here we have a machlokas Amaran between Rav Yochanan Vishlakish, Vishlakish Amar Psula, Diafla Mikol and Gadome Amana. Now, as far as Vishlakish is concerned, it's very simple. The argument on behalf of Vishlakish is, look, we're just going to follow the model of an Amana Kohen Gadol. Amana Kohen Gadol, so a prohibited union producing somebody who cannot marry a Kohen, otherwise known as a chalala. Here too, a prohibited union, the father's an amoni, mom is a bas Yisrael, so the daughter cannot marry a Kohen. That's the argument of Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan Amar Kshera, and Rav Yochanan would say Kasher, as we turn now to the top of Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, the Dini Rav Zakeh coming to Rav Yochanan because of the following braisa that was said in front of Rav Yochanan. Ki im besula me'am avikach, isha la'avig yoros mikana shikshera l'kuhuna. So, as far as the Kohen Gadol is concerned, ki im besula. So the Kohen Gadol is allowed to marry a Besula. So that would mean that's an inclusionary term. Lavi Giyaris Mikana, a Giyaris who is coming from literally her nest, that she's not allowed to marry a Kohen. Now that's an obscure braisa. What is that in reference to? V'amar le'ani shone amav, me'amav lavi Besula, abba mi beis amimim. So I'm saying that's amav, me'amav. meaning even if the child is a product of two nationalities. And you're just talking about a gyoros mikana, a gyoros from her nest. Now, that needs more clarification. A daughter coming from two nationalities, what does that mean? My shnei amemim, ilei mamoni shenasa amonis, my umay mishnei amemim, dezchar masam nekevis mutaros, hainu gyoros mikana. Well, if you're telling me that it's an amoni marrying an amonis, which is a perfectly legitimate union, but that doesn't fit in the words, because that's not two nationalities. That is one single nationality. It happens to be that one's male and the other one's female. Ela ba'amoni shenasa bas Yisrael. It's talking about an amoni marrying a bas Yisrael. Where the amoni marries a bas Yisrael, and under those circumstances, even though it's the child is a product of two nationalities, dad and Ammonite. Again, the word Ammonite over here, in this context of this discussion, it's such a strange discussion because he converted. But the whole point of Ammoni is the status Ammoni will stay with him even post-conversion. So vis-a-vis this particular halacha, we're calling him a second nationality. Marrying a Bas Yisrael, and that is a prohibited union. And what Rav Yochanan is saying is that based on the Pasuk and based on the Ribui, we're learning that even though, despite the fact that the parental union is a prohibited union, nevertheless, the resulting daughter is in fact allowed to marry a Kohen. That's what we're deriving from Kim Besulam Me Amav Yikach Isha. That is a ribui, and that's coming to include the Gioris, who's coming Mikana, literally from her nest. But that means to say that the Chiddush is that even though she's the result of a multiple nationality relationship. Okay, Ika Damri is where we're going to pause right now. Tomorrow we're going to pick it up with the Ika Damri on Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. Let us review today's daf. We started today with the Mishnah. The Mishnah introduced us to the prohibition of Amon and Moavi, meaning even post-conversion, they are not allowed to marry Bekal Hashem. And again, as we are pointed out numerous times, this is I know I have overstated this, but really I cannot overstate this. As far as Gerim is concerned, they're full-fledged Gerim, with all the rights and privileges of being a Ger, and with all the obligations and responsibility of being a Jew. They're full-fledged Gerim. However, there's an Isser Ishus that is attached to these Gerim. They know this. They know this coming in. It's not a surprise. It's not a mystery. It's a pasuk in the Torah that there's going to be an Isser Ishus that Amon and Moavi cannot marry Bekal Hashem. Good. That's the Mishnah. The Mishnah, however, told us that when it comes to Amon and Moavi, a basic distinction to be made between the male and the female. The male is where the Isser Ishus lies, and not with the female. As far as the Mitzri and Adomi is concerned, so the Isser in the Torah is for three generations. We'll talk more about that in tomorrow's daf. But that means to say, by the third generation, there is a allowance for them to marry within Kal Hashem. But for generations one and two of their converted people, so they cannot marry in. The Mishnah brings down a machlokas tonight whether or not there is a separation for male and female within the Egyptians. Tanakhama says there's no difference. And Rabbi Shimon says there is, in fact, a difference. He has a kav v'chomer. Good. The Gemara's first discussion, and really the bulk of today's daf, revolved around mehechi tasty. How do I know? How do I know a distinction is to be made between Moavi and Moavis, Ammoni and Ammonis? How do I know such a distinction? So we have a fascinating Gemara that takes us through the story of Rus, really, to really focusing on the story of the meeting between David and Shaul, where Shaul is now wondering, is this going to be the next king? And the general saying, I really don't think you have to worry about him being a king. In fact, there's even going to be an Isser Ishus on David. He can't marry into the Jewish people because his great grandmother was in fact from Moab. And the ensuing discussion and the conclusion of the Gemara is that there is a distinction between male and female. Kach mikublani me beizdino shel Shmuel haramasi. It goes back to a Masorah, it goes back to a tradition all the way to Shmuel. And as we explained in the Gemara, it's halacha l'moshe misinai. Okay, that was the first part of today's daf that took us all the way to Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. And then the Gemara brought down a number of drushas that David HaMelech said regarding his questionable state, his controversial state of being in, and pitach lamosirai, Kadosh Baruch Hu unlocked the chains. And then the next big discussion that we had is Rav Yochanan, where Rav Yochanan advances a chiddush. And that is that if I have the daughter of an Ammoni and a Bas Yisrael, where even though, despite the fact that their union was prohibited, so the daughter who is an Ammonis, and the same thing would be true with Moav as well, the daughter who is an Ammonith is allowed to marry, not only allowed to marry, but even allowed to marry a Kohen. Okay? And admittedly, that is a Chiddush, as the Gemara pointed out, because generally speaking, any time the child is a product of a union that's prohibited, the child is a Chala, has a Chala status, and therefore not allowed to marry a Kohen. But for this, is an exception and an exclusion. Why? So right now, as we move to the top of Ein Zayin Amud Beis, the answer of the Gemara is it's a drush, it's a ribui, that for such a child, the child is in fact allowed to marry a Kohen. Adkan, we're going to stop over here.